The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy. It is the penultimate season 6 episode. We are so excited. Next week is the finale, but before that, we must do this. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your barely functioning hosts, Carmen. And it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And it's also a beautiful day. You have a beer and I have a rooted beer. Okay. This episode is brought to you by Refreshing Delicious Flavor.
That was nice, but I hate root beer.
I love root beer. A little asthma for you guys out there. A little drinking asthma.
Drinking asthma.
Anyways, hi. Hello.
Hello.
This episode, does penultimate, it means, what does that even mean?
Second to last.
Second to last, So, is it... No, my joke would have been stupid.
They normally are, but you do anyways. Oh boy.
Well, before we jump into all the episode shit, we've got some fucking shout-outs.
We have so many new Patreons. Also, remember last week when I was like, we don't have any new Patreons to shout out because this person joined since we last recorded. But I had not mentioned them in the last recording. And I am
trash. Party foul.
And for that, I apologize. This is one of our many, many little baby Megans. So, Megan.
Yes.
Megan Nicole, thank you for joining our Patreon. We appreciate Megan. You. And we apologize for the delay in your shout out.
And for that reason, Megan, this episode of Living in Shondaland is going to be sponsored by you today. So, dedication time, Megan.
Megan. All right, we also have, on our Patreons, we have to shout out Gabby for joining Patreon.
Gabby!
We have to shout out Jake for joining Patreon.
Jake!
We have to shout out Kirsty for joining Patreon.
Is it Kirsty? I think it's Kirsty. Kirsty? Kirsty?
Kirsten?
Kirsty or Kirsty? We're saying two different pronunciations of the name. Kirsty or Kirsty?
I just don't ever know that I've heard someone called Kirsty.
Kirsty!
Because would you say Kirsten? Kirsten.
Kirsten? You should message us. Kirsty or Kirsty?
I feel like yours is made up. And now I think it's Kirsty. That's her name.
Well, remember when I was right about Janisha?
I still like that.
Well, it's okay.
And did I say Frankie? Shout out Frankie. We love Shout Frankie, out! Our favorite Kiwi.
The favoritest Kiwi.
Also, I'm having a wee bit of congestion, so I am apologizing for that.
Don't even worry about it. I would like to know if you have any more shout-outs before we dig into my more shout-outs.
I do. Chris, been talking a lot to Chris.
Yes!
On the Instagram.
Chris has a shout-out coming from me, too.
That's it. Lots of people excited for the finale. Lots of people excited that we're going to be live for the finale. So, just good stuff.
Should we videotape that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll figure that out. We could do that.
Yeah.
All right. So, first off, before we jump into the rest of my shout outs, join Patreon. It is the most fun community in all the internet. You don't even need to wear your clothes for when you type at home. on your toilet or in your shower. We have just the best fans and friends in the entire world. So thank you for that. Definitely go to the patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod for all of the fun antics. So I want to shout out Chris, because a while back I shouted Chris out and I said, yo, that dude's fucking dope. Plot twist, Chris is a lady. And Chris, thank you. She was very, very sweet in correcting me. So I want to shout out Chris. Really appreciate you being so kind. As someone who gets their name mispronounced all the time, and I'm very particular about it, I feel like you could have told me earlier, but that's okay. And I'm talking to Chris. Chris,
it's
talking
not
to
her
you here.
Responsibility. She will correct people as when our once friend? It gets wrong.
Okay, that's fair. Anyways, so Chris, I apologize. I want to also put our dear friend Becca on fucking blast because she said that eggplant. Okay, but you like eggplant?
Yeah, I like eggplant.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
But there was something olives, else on that list I didn't like.
Well, it was, let's see, I got the list pulled up here. It was sushi, avocado, fish, banana soup,
oh, I don't
broccoli.
Like fish.
Okay, well. There, one of them was cake. Like, who the fuck is out here not eating cake?
Michael doesn't really eat cake.
Oh, my
gosh. He doesn't have a sweet tooth.
Okay, well.
Oh, coffee. I don't like coffee. I don't like coconut.
Wild. Okay, anyways,
like
Becca was out here picking a fight with me. She sent me a reply to my story, and she said, eggplant and olives are the devil's food, Carmen. And then she said,
I don't like olives.
Aubergines? 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 How do you pronounce that word?
What was the rest of the sentence?
It's what an eggplant is. An eggplant is an aubergine or an aubergine. Aubergina?
I thought eggplants were like in the gourd family.
Because she responded, said aubergines should only ever be used in emoji form, and you know it. And then
oh,
I was
no,
like, what
that's
the
just
fuck
another
is
an name for an eggplant.
Yeah, but how is it pronounced is what I'm asking.
I don't know.
All right. Well, Becca, ultimately, when you clap back and you fight me on this, make sure you let me know how to pronounce it. If you can send me a voice memo, that would be
hold
great.
On, we're going to get on. Here we go.
While you're also doing that, I'm going to shout out just all of the fucking friends that we have that shared aubergine. This podcast. Aubergine.
Aubergine.
Aubergine. Oh, it's Canadian.
She's
all right. So
anyways,
all of our friends sharing our brand new pictures to their Instagram mm-hmm. stories has just been so fucking cool. Thank you. Let's see. Where is the next shout out that I have? Let's see. Where? Fuck. Actually, here. Let me see if I can get on the list. This list. So Kirsty shared it. Kirsty or Kirsty. Katya, Alicia. Wait. Did Alicia? No, Alicia didn't do that. I was shouting at Alicia for sending me other funny shit. Katya did. Kirsty. Our friend Leah. Shout out. Dear friend Kelly. Our dear friend Emily, who I don't know if she listens to the podcast. Marianne.
Ryan.
I think. Yep, Ryan. Becca did not. Fucking Becca. Omira. Katya. Thank you. I said Katya. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep. 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 And then a couple other, our friend Nathan, but I don't think he tagged. There were some people who shared it and didn't tag us that I didn't see. So I apologize if I missed anyone. But also, I have a new friend that I would also like to shout out to.
Okay.
Carla from Germany.
Ooh, my
reached
homeland.
Out. Yes. Reached out to me, and she really, really said some incredibly nice things. And she is a part of the LGBTQ+ community and really appreciated the way that I was able to articulate how you can love Jesus and the gays at the same time. And she was just really appreciative of that. She's someone who is part of that community, like I said, and also a Christian. And it's tough when the perception of so many people of that religion, of our religion, is this anger and hate and judgment towards people in the LGBTQ plus community. So Carla from Germany, love you, pal. Part of the, she just really, really part of the good fight that we're putting on here. So wanted to shout out Carla. And then I think I have a message from Diamond that I haven't read.
Yeah.
she reminded me of the Scrubs play, Dr. Acula. So anyways.
We also wanted to shout out Renee.
Yes.
Her family's going through a tough time. And
Renee, yes.
Just also all of our Discord family and community, because you guys have been all being really supportive and friendly. And it's nice to know that even though we span multiple continents, we are still able to be there for each other and feel like that's it's a safe space to share when we are having struggles. And there's been some really incredible connections made for other people who have gone through similar things, who are able to give advice from their own experiences. So we love you guys. Yeah. It's really amazing to see. Yeah. It's not just Gray's chit chat over there, although it is a lot of Gray's chit chat, but there's a lot of other stuff happening over on our Discord. So if you're interested, hit us up and we will point you in the right direction for that.
Yes. Speaking of Renee, in her honor, I do have a dad joke. Every morning I announce loudly to my family that I'm going jogging, but then don't go. It's a running joke.
Nice.
All right. I feel like we should talk about a podcast now.
I wish I had an avocado.
An avocado.
Thanks. Okay. This?
There's someone else that I need to shout out, and I just don't remember.
Episode? Wrong thing. This is episode 22 of the sixth season. Now, if you'll recall, there are 24 episodes in the sixth season. Episodes 23 and 24 aired together. The day that this comes out, 4/18, Carmen and I will be together. Well, him and Jessica and Marlo are flying in later in the evening. And then we will be watching it over the weekend, I think on Sunday we're going to watch it. And then immediately after we're going to record the episode. We don't know if it's all going to drop at once, because we do anticipate it being longer than regular episodes since it is two episodes together. So it might be all at once. It might be over the course of, like, it could be Tuesday, Thursday, or Thursday, Friday. We're not really sure yet. So we're going to record it, see what it looks like, and then we'll keep you guys updated. So you can follow the Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod, and that's where we'll post the updates. Or you can just open your podcast app and be surprised. I don't know. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. Live your best life.
So this is episode 124 overall. It is called Shiny Happy People. And that is a song that I love.
It sure is. It is a single by REM, or REM, if you're talking about sleepies. And that is one of Kelsey's favorite bands. It was released, is the second single from their studio album Out of Time, and it was released in 1991. And it has a feature, Kate Pearson of the B-52s. So fun fact, I didn't like this song for most of my life. Hold on, just calm down, okay?
Offensive.
Calm down. Most of my life, I also, hold on, I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm about to destroy this podcast. I don't like REM that much.
You've already said this to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But the reason I didn't like this song, I was like, man, it sounds a lot like the B-52s. It's, I'm like, okay, this makes sense now. My adult life, totally, totally crazy. Anyways, it's really not that bad of a song. It's got like a very iconic guitar riff. Anyways, so it reached as high as number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. And it got to top 10 in the UK, Norway, the Netherlands, Ireland, Germany, France, Canada, Belgium. It reached top 100 in Australia, Austria, Europe, Finland, New Zealand, Sweden. So a lot of really, really awesome stuff that this song did. So kudos to REM and kudos to Kate Pearson of the B-52s, who was also in the music video for it.
Any REM songs off the top of your head that you can think of that you do like?
That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot. Losing my religion.
Which was the title of one of the episodes.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
On their last album, there are some songs that I really like also that I feel like the last album didn't really get as much play because I feel like they're very 90s. Mm-hmm, and it was like late 2000s that those were coming out. So I don't feel like a lot of people knew that as much. And then they said that they weren't going to be banding anymore. And I was so sad because I always wanted to see them in concert because my dad saw them like 11 times. And then he was like, but you cannot go until you're of age because everyone is stoned and drunk. They broke up before I was of age, so I could not go.
So this is your dad's fault, really.
It's
your dad broke them up.
Yes.
To be honest, I've never really given them a fair shot, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to listen to them on the drive to get Marlo to and from daycare tomorrow. I'm going to listen to their songs.
I'll send you a couple that I think are good. I also introduced Carmen to a new band, FM Static. And you liked the one song that I sent.
Yeah, that one fucking slapped. I didn't listen to the rest of them, but that one was
there
that
was
one,
also
that
I was
hard.
Revisiting a couple of the albums today when I was driving, and there was another song that I was like, I need to send this one to Carmen too, because I was like, this is definitely in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, we did a top five pop punk bands in our Discord.
Yeah, that's changed literally, like, since I told you my answer, it's changed.
Yeah,
I feel like that one's tough. It's like, just depends on the mood that I'm in during the day, because they're all so different.
Yeah, everything is different. So that might be a fun Patreon episode that we could do, like top five anything, and we just go through a list of random shit. We just do top fives.
Yeah.
So, for sure. All right.
So I assume this did not make it to your iTunes library.
So here's the thing. I'm going to give the song. It's iconic. It's going to be a 4 out of 5, but it is not in my iTunes library.
Fuck it.
Hold on. We're going to do it live. Fucking get in my iTunes library, dude.
I want to applaud your objectivity. So I know that's not your type in music, but you can still recognize that it is a good song. So good job. I'm proud of you.
I want to apologize to Alicia for personally offending heavy metal everywhere, which, by the way, we definitely got to get a Zoom going this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. This episode is brought to you by Lexi's Butt in a Dress.
All right. Hold on. Sorry. Okay.
Can you stop blaming your dad for REM breaking up while I'm talking to you?
No, I'm too busy. This episode was written by Zoan Clack and Peter Nowak, directed by Edward Ornelius, and he did Elevator Love Letter, which was the episode that Derek proposed. And he did Good Morning, which was the first episode of season 6. So this is his third episode, but he did two really iconic episodes before this.
The Good Morning is when it's going through George's death, right?
Yeah, and they go to the funeral and everything. And that girl won't stop crying. It aired May 3rd.
Oh, I forgot about that. Shit.
It aired May 13th, 2010 to 11.05 million views. The Hulu synopsis is Karev treats a troubled teen. Meredith shares her suspicions with Christina. The Netflix synopsis is an elderly patient admitted into the ER for a heart condition sees a familiar face, a long lost love who happens to be in the ER as well. Just two, like, can we have a snippet from both storylines? Why are we just picking one on both platforms? We're singularly choosing one and nothing else.
Also, Hulu, Meredith didn't share shit.
She was like, hey, I don't know about Owen. And Christina was like, what? And Meredith was like, I don't know. And Christina was like, no, seriously, what? And Meredith was like, I don't know.
I spent this entire episode. Also, I got home at like 1 o'clock last night from work. watched this episode and I made a bowl of just fucking tuna, mayo, and jardinera. And I just ate it. And then I did this episode, went to sleep, and I was up by 5:30 to go to work. Yuck. To be there at 7. So I am so tired, so exhausted.
Yeah, Carmen had texted me. I went to bed relatively early last night. Carmen had texted me before you were even off of work.
Yeah.
And I was already asleep.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, we might have to push recording because I don't know when I'm going to be able to do this. And I saw it when I woke up and I was like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. Like, we can figure something else out if we have to push it. And he responded and said, no worries. I watched it last night and pulled an all-nighter. And I was like, that is my nightmare. I have pulled an all-nighter twice in my life. And both times were when I birthed my children because they had to be born at the ass crack of dawn. So I was in a lot of labor overnight. Never in college, never in high school. I don't do that. I need my sleep or I will just like not be a human. I will be a murderer.
Yeah, we were planning out tomorrow and I've got to like pack and shit.
Yeah.
And do like laundry and cleaning. And Jessica's like, well, what time are you going to get Marlo? And I was like, I can only think so far ahead right now.
I know. I was like, well, and then because originally Carmen and I had planned to record the episode Friday morning. I was like, first thing Friday morning, we'll get up, we'll watch, and then we'll record the kids in. Michael and Jessica will go do something. It'll be Friday, so people will still be like working and in school, so things won't be busy. And then Michael was like, oh, I have an exam I have to go to school and take on Friday. And I was like, motherfucker. So because of the length of time we will probably be watching and recording, we obviously cannot utilize Friday that way. So Friday we'll all have fun together until Michael goes to school. But so then Sunday will be recording, but I am also trying to like frantically figure out scheduling stuff and making sure we have enough food to feed all these ravenous children
and me.
Yeah. And then I was also like, oh, I need to clean the office so Carmen and I can record. And Michael was like, nah, just don't record in there. And I was like, Michael, where else would we record? He's like, I don't know, not in there though. And I was like, you're just not helping.
We'll make it work. It'll all be great. All right, so we get this episode where they're at a fucking party, and I want to let you know, it took me a minute to realize that they were at Meredith's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't really tell, and the way they had the party set up, it was like kind of unclear until Christina was being a mood,
and
she's just sitting there like, I gotta eat this food before everyone else, and I'm drunk, and I'm like, okay.
I love her.
Yes. And then I realized it was the kitchen.
So, yeah. We'll start with, they're all, I love this scene because we don't get a lot of scenes where everyone is kind of contained to the same space. The only person who's not there is Teddy.
Yeah. And Charles.
Oh, yeah. We didn't see him at all this episode, did we?
Yeah. No Charles.
Saw Reed, though.
We sure did. And almost got a fucking threesome.
I've been waiting for this moment because I knew you were going to be so excited that Mark actually proposes a threesome.
Him and I are the same person. It's like looking in an identical mirror.
He's so, you couldn't be wronger. You think so highly of yourself. I need to bring you down so many notches because you're just wrong.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
I know. It's my goal in life, and I also know it's impossible.
Yeah.
I try so hard to be so mean, and you're so unaffected.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. One of these days, you're just going to come up and like shoot me in the kneecap, and I'm going to be like, why did you do that?
I feel like I know hateful things I could say that would hurt you, and I would never say them to you.
Well, because I know that ultimately we have an understanding that I don't actually think that Mark and I are the same person.
Right.
I wouldn't even put him in the same category as me. He's not that attractive. And
I hate Carmen. Also, on that note, Carmen was like, we can get Taylor Swift on the podcast. I cannot explain to you people how delusional this man is. Like, he really thinks that she will come on the podcast.
I just found out that she likes Grey's Anatomy and she has a cat named Meredith Grey. I think that she would love to come on our podcast. It would benefit her career.
That's an insane thing of you to say.
She's just at the tip of the iceberg of her potential, and we could help unlock that potential.
You're going to get us canceled. The Swifties are going to find this. And they're going to murder us in our sleep.
I have not said a single
about Taylor.
I haven't said a single bad thing. I love Taylor Swift.
You just said that she needs to come on this podcast for her career, Carmen.
Yes.
That's an insult.
You know who else needs to come on this podcast for their career? The Kelce brothers. They would
but that's really there's more for me personally and less for anyone's
career. Upstart musician named Paul McCartney also has been trying to get onto this podcast for a while.
Wait, did you see that him and John Lennon's, his son and John Lennon's son released a song together?
I did not, but did you see that there's going to be the remastered version of Let It Be on Apple or Disney Plus?
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, let's just start with Mark. Because
and a quick message from these... I'm kidding.
Reed is at the party and she's like, I'm going to do it.
I didn't know what she was going for. I thought she was going to go for Alex.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And Jackson's like, fucking get it.
Yes, Jackson. Jackson is me.
So she goes and she's like, Dr. Sloan, your surgery was so good. It was amazing. And he says, let me get you a drink.
I was concerned in that moment. Ultimately, I am confused. This storyline leads me to be confused later on in the episode. But I thought he was going to be like, let me get you a drink so I can turn you down because I'm fucking Teddy. Plot twist. He said, no, I'll have sex with you. Reed.
Well, and
let's
him and
this.
Teddy are very on the same page of like, we never said we're exclusive.
Oh, okay. So I guess we're jumping right into that part. So is she mad at him? I really can't tell.
I mean, I think she isn't thrilled, but she's like, well, we didn't have this conversation. So technically you didn't do anything wrong. But at the same time, this is not what I'm interested in. So we're done.
Oh, so they're done. That's what she was saying.
It's over.
I thought she was saying that the conversation was over.
I don't think so.
That's why it was unclear.
I'm sorry.
Because I took it both ways. No, I did kind of read it both ways because then when Callie was like, you got to go talk to her. And Mark's like, I just did. She just left. Mark was really funny in this episode.
It didn't make sense. Here's the thing. I don't mind skipping to the end. The whole thing where he's like, Callie's like, I just want you to tell Lexi that you still love her. And I don't mind that he does still love her. It's just, it kind of feels like it came out of nowhere because they've set up this whole arc of him being like, I'm over Lexi. I'm moving on. I'm going to find someone that I want to be with. And then like, who is on the same page. And it was all like lining up. And then out of nowhere, Callie just says, well, we all know you're still in love with her. And it's like, what?
It was a little cop-outy. Yeah.
It just felt weird to me.
Yeah,
I don't think as far as the previous episodes coming up to this point, other than him like a couple episodes ago being sad when he saw her with Alex. But that was like 3 or 4 episodes ago. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's been a minute and he's obviously been like dating Teddy and they've been like of the two of them. Teddy has been more of the issue because obviously she's obsessed with Owen.
Trying to brain fuck Owen.
And I just kind of like, I don't mind it because I love them together, but it just fell out of the blue to me in the lead up.
I agree.
I will say the clip of the conversation where she goes, I have a boyfriend, and he says, I know I'm saying you could have a husband. That lives rent free in my head. I think about that shit all the fucking time. For no reason.
Well, it's not for no reason. It's a fucking not only a dope line, but also like,
whoa.
I like them together. I've been a stan of them for a long time. I guess I'm just concerned because, you know, Callie is like, well, the reasons for you and Lexi aren't reasons anymore with Sloan and the baby and all that.
Right.
And then he's like, well, so you're going to get back with Arizona? And she's like, well, the reasons are still reasons for me.
Right.
And then we have the elevator scene. We'll need to talk about that later. Okay. like, I'm confused. Lexi still was like barely ready to move in with him. She's in her 20s. Mark is in his 40s.
Yeah, I think right now we're thinking she's mid 20s, 25, 26 maybe, and he's probably late, like 39, 40 maybe.
So, yeah, I just don't think, like, the reasons for him, that makes sense. Like, I get it. Okay, Sloane's gone. But I don't think Lexi's ready to fucking get married. I don't know.
Yeah.
But damn, what a cold ass dope fucking line. I have a boyfriend. I know. I'm trying to give you a fucking husband, bitch. And she's like, starts to cry. And then Alex comes up and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too much.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's an emotional moment.
So, trying to think what else we've got to talk about. So, man, Teddy and him. Yeah, that one confused me. I'm glad we talked about that, because that was definitely I wasn't sure how to read that one. But so did Reed and him actually have sex, or did they did?
I think that was supposed to be post-sexuals.
Post-sexuals, yeah. And Teddy's like, I should have knocked.
Gosh. She says, I should have knocked. It's that simple and it's that over.
Yeah. That's sad.
My reasons are still reasons, yeah.
So
Owen tells Arizona. No, sorry. Teddy tells Arizona that Mark proposed a threesome or whatever. And Owen, like, overhears. And he's like, do you want me to say something? Like, I can't believe he cheated on you. And Teddy's like, no, like, we weren't exclusive and you don't need to stand up for me. Like, it's fucking fine. And Meredith is like throwing the side eye over. No, Lexi. Sorry. Lexi's
yeah, Lexi's throwing the side eye. But Christina is looking at him there, like,
and she's like, because this is after Meredith has kind of planted the seeds of concern. And so, yeah, it's just a whole bunch of people need to get it together. You know what I'm saying?
People just need to have these honest conversations with each other. Also, I'm not ignoring you, by the way. I don't know if you'd like see, like, what the fuck are you doing over there, Carmen? I got like this piece of lint stuck in my toenail and I'm just trying to get it out.
Oh,
I just got it out.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we'll take a quick moment for a word from our sponsors. Maybe it'll be about cleaning your feet.
One of the best things about finishing a great book is knowing that you have another one ready to go in your to-be-read pile. With Book of the Month, you can make sure that your to-be-read pile stays stocked and ready to go. Each month, you can use the app to select from 5 to 7 titles vetted and curated by the team at Book of the Month, focusing specifically on debut authors and early releases. If you can't choose just one, you can always upgrade and add more from your selection. And if that TBR pile starts to get a little too tall, you can skip as many months as you need to give yourself a little extra time to catch up on what you have. Personally, I am a huge fan of suspense and psychological thrillers, so I was very excited to see multiple books on the selection list for May that fit that description. I selected 2 different titles, both of which are set in Washington State, just like our favorite show, Grey's Anatomy. I thoroughly enjoyed The Return of Ellie Black, the first thriller novel from Amiko Jean, and have Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch ready to read on my road trip next week. Right now, you can sign up for Book of the Month and use code PETALS to get your first book for only $5. That's code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, to get your first book for only $5. Watch out for that blue box at your door and get your TBR pile stocked and ready.
And we're back. Was it feet cleaning? I don't know.
I sure hope it was. Also, consider this, all of you, permission to go get a pedicure.
Oh, yeah, I could really use. But okay.
Maybe you and Jessica can go get pedicures while we're in town.
That would be delightful, but I'm pressed about time. Ooh. I don't know what we're going to be doing. Just a short amount of time. Can you just
a lot of fucking food.
Move here. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have time for the sushi, because I have a lot of meals planned out, and I don't know that any of them are sushi.
One of them is hibachi, right?
Yeah.
I might just get like a roll of sushi.
Yeah, you can get sushi there. Yeah,
So, yes. Okay.
So, the rest of the storyline with Alex and because I feel like part of this is kind of like leads in for the Alex and the Teddy and the, or the Christina and Owen and Teddy and Arizona and Callie and Mark and Lexi and Alex. I feel like all of those love like stories everybody. Are kind of like intertwined. But Owen, you don't need to fucking defend her honor. Just let her do her shit. And also, okay, Weber. Get it together, Weber.
What's wrong with Weber?
The scene where they're like talking in the surgery and he's like, oh, it's quite some shorthand you guys got. And he's like, oh yeah, we've been through some shit. Mm. And Weber's like, oh, I used to have some shorthand with a tasty old treat named Ellis Gray. We fucked. And that's when Christina's like, am I Thatcher?
All right. Well, now that Carmen's almost murdered me. Jesus Christ.
Weber almost murdered you.
Okay.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I don't think, because not everybody in the world knows that he was fucking Ellis.
That's fair. But together. Christina for sure.
Definitely knows, but he doesn't know that she knows.
That's fair. Oh, that's fair. Oh, Weber, you dumb, dumb son of a bitch. But yeah, that's the thing. I hate that Meredith brought it up to Christina at all and then kind of like walked away. She's like, here's a nugget of shit.
Well, I kind of see where she's coming from, but I also am annoyed. I'm like, either tell her everything or tell her nothing. But I also see where she's like, just be like, I heard something, but I can't share verbatim what I heard. But like, I mean, ultimately, I like how she ended up handling it because she just went to Owen and she was like, you have to tell her because I can't. And if you don't, then you and I will both know that you're a piece of fucking shit. Because she thinks you're great. And if you're not the person she thinks she is or thinks you are, that's on you. And you're going to fuck it up and you're going to fuck her up. And I'm not here for that.
Yeah. When she goes to him and she's like, Christina loves you and I want to, but right now I'm trying to not fucking punch you in the mouth. Also, that stairway scene. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
There
was also a stairway scene where Meredith heard Derek and Addison arguing. It's kind of reminiscent.
Oh, yes. Symmetry. I feel like we're so jumbled. Kelsey, get us back on track. I can't even think straight right now.
I don't know how. I'm too tired. You're too tired. Okay, let me look. Okay, let's start with Meredith and Christina. So Meredith goes to her and she's like, hey, are you sure there's nothing going on with Teddy and Owen? Because like maybe there probably is. And Christina's like, can you give me more information? Meredith's like, no, I gotta go. Gotta go work one with Mark.
The thing that was confusing about that scene is like, I kind of felt the rest of the episode was going to go in a totally different direction because Christina knows that they have a past. Because Teddy was like, I want Owen. And she's like, okay, fine, fucking do it. Take it.
Yeah, but then I think because everything's been going great with Christina and Teddy, and things are going well from Christina's standpoint with Teddy and Owen and Owen and Christina, she doesn't think that there's anything else because she tells Owen, like, you should be her friend. Like, I didn't tell you not to be and all this stuff. And then also, just the very blatant lie of like, yeah, I told Derek to hire her. So like,
yeah, that's pretty wild.
My phone, sorry. Okay. And then what else?
But we should
Christina
also
just continues to like berate Meredith and be like, why won't you tell me? And Meredith's like, I can't tell you. Ask Owen. And then in the lunch scene, Christina is sitting with Alex. Or no, sorry. Meredith is sitting with Alex. Christina comes over and walks by and sits like one table over. And Meredith is like, seriously? Why won't you come over here? And Christina, and then she tells Alex that Christina won't talk to her. And she's like, don't talk to him about me. Talk to me about me.
So I think it's also worth mentioning, just so we don't lose sight of this. All of this shit started because Owen asked Christina to move in with him.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. I didn't even mention that. And Christina's drunk and Meredith sees it and she is not into it.
Yeah. She was leering.
Yeah, she is not.
All she does is leer.
She's just not on board. Glaring little laser beams into Owen like, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
I know that you're a piece of shit. I'm just sinking into this chair. I'm so tired.
It's okay.
Okay.
We should just, the next rest of this hour should just be us taking a nap.
Yeah, that feels like a good idea. I'll probably talk in my sleep about Grey's Anatomy.
No spoilies.
Oh, that's true. That's hard to control. Okay, so Christina finally comes over and is like, do you think I'm Thatcher? And Meredith goes, what are you talking about? And she's like, if I'm Thatcher, Teddy is Weber and Owen is Ellis. I was like, what? This is the weirdest thing. And Meredith's like, I don't know. You should talk to Owen. Like, okay, Meredith.
Yeah. At that point, I was just like,
but I'm also like, just say it. At this point, just say it. But just tell her you can't tell Owen I told you this, but go to Owen and like ask what the fuck. I don't know. She's between a rock and a hard place.
Because she made the hard place.
No, because she should tell Christina, but she is also being loyal to Derek. Fucking bullshit.
Hey, they have a post-it note. Back off. Official prediction in the season 6 finale, they rip up the post-it note.
Oh my. Christina asks Meredith, did Ellis ever get over Richard? And Christina says, my mother loved Richard until the day she died.
Meredith says that, not Christina.
Yeah, sorry.
I knew what you meant, but any listeners out there, just let's make sure.
I really like the thing where she's like, for a long time, it's just been me and you. And it's still me and you, but it's also me and Derek. And Christina says, I understand that it's you and Derek and that it's me and you, but you need to understand that I need there to be a me and Owen. And I just like that scene and just the way they communicate and the way they understand each other.
Yeah.
Because I think that is what prompts Meredith to go to Owen and be like, listen, this is fucking bullshit. You need to own up and take care of this because like, I know what's going on and I can't say anything, but like, you need to be the man that she thinks that you are because like, you're just a liar. And if you actually want to be in this relationship with her and be a good person, then you need to tell her.
Yeah.
What it is that you are doing. And if you don't know what you're doing with Teddy, you need to figure that shit out too. Also, I wanted to note that when he asked Christina to move in, he does say he ran it by his therapist and she said it's a good idea. Looks like he's not running his feelings for Teddy by the therapist, if I had to guess.
Well, no. So this is actually, I got to tell you, I really, really like the way that Hunt is written in this episode. I don't like Hunt per se, but when they're in the stairway and they're arguing and she's like, and Christina asks him, this is when Hunt comes clean, right? So he did do the good guy thing ultimately. So Christina's like, well, what does Teddy mean to you? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, that's not good enough. And he's like, well, that's all I got. But here's the thing. When he explained that Teddy is wrapped up in the trauma of dudes exploding around him and the death and the trauma with his ex-wife or ex-fiance or whatever it is, I forget, Beth, I think is her name.
Yeah.
When he's explaining all of that, I'm like, okay, actually, Hunt, you're making sense. I don't love what you're saying. But it's fair. It's fair that Teddy is just kind of within this trauma and you still need to work through this because he ultimately does say, I know how I feel about you, Christina. That is very clear to me. What I don't understand is how to separate all of this ball of trauma and death and despair and Teddy.
I see where you're coming from. But if he's actively trying to process through that trauma, as he should, as is his right and the thing to do to take care of himself, I feel from her point, what if I wait around and you are able to separate all of these tangled feelings up of trauma and Teddy and all those memories wrapped together, and you decide, oh, I can be with her. And then I,
you're right. I also agree with, yeah. I also agree with
so
you
I
on that.
So I see where she's coming from when she's like, well, totally. I don't know. Is it good enough? Ow. Punch myself in the face. Yeah. It's fine. And then, he says, this is what that really pissed me off the most about that, because I do appreciate him trying to, explain to her. But then he says, I shouldn't have to explain myself to you. Well, you should. I'm sorry, yeah. But you should have to explain yourself to people. You're, if you want to say, like, I shouldn't have to explain myself to Meredith, that's fine. But you're doing a poor job of accepting their relationship. Like, that's the one thing I'll always say for Derek, is he accepts the Meredith and Christina, like, without question. Like, yeah. He, there's very little pushback. And Owen, I do not think, is there. And that pisses me off.
Yeah.
And that's especially when he's like, I don't have to explain myself to you. Yes, you do, because you're in a relationship with this woman and you just ask her to move in with you. So, yeah, you do have to explain yourself to her. If you're essentially saying you don't know whether or not you have feelings for someone else.
Also, this is coming on the heels of you basically saying, I'm a dirty liar, liar, pants on fire. Right.
Yeah.
So you
lied to your face.
Mm hmm. And even if it was a lie of omission, you allowed your girlfriend to think that you were this white knight for how long, right?
Yeah.
And that's just not cool. That's just not cool.
Yeah. And he's like, so, oh, I've been like, you, I want to be better and I've been working with Dr. Wyatt. Well, yes, that's fine. But that doesn't excuse you doing shitty things still.
Right. Therapy is good. But using it as an excuse to do shitty things is bad.
Have you had another therapy since last week or no? Because your schedule's wonky.
I've got a session tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Online. Fucking,
yeah.
Cool, cool, cool.
That'll be interesting.
Big day tomorrow.
Yeah. I got to get Marlo to school by like 8 o'clock in the morning so that I can be home in time.
Your entire life?
Got to do my whole life. I got to take a nap. Definitely need a nap.
Got to have a therapy.
Got to have a therapy. Gotta get a, maybe get a Shamrock Shake if they still got those.
I will say, we are switching insurances at the beginning of the coming month. So once we are switched, then I'm finding a therapy. And Michael did pick one specifically with very good mental health co-payment plans set into it.
Look at that.
Specifically to make sure that that would be accessible for us.
Wow. I'm so proud of you. I'm excited to hear about your therapy journey as well.
It's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Be a lot. They'll be like, maybe you should be nicer to Carmen. I'll be like, I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I appreciate your opinion.
Well, it's funny because my therapist said that I shouldn't talk to you anymore.
That's not surprising. I don't think you would told your therapist about me.
Oh, it hasn't come up yet, but you're not a trauma. You're not a trauma yet.
I'm not a trauma yet.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. Working on traumatizing you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, so that whole staircase conversation happens, a pager goes off, they look over, Teddy's there, she's just like, oh no, I was eavesdropping and now I've been caught. So this is also all happening around the cutest little patient story that you've ever seen in your whole life.
That'll be next episode.
Did you recognize the woman?
No.
She's the mom from Happy Days.
Don't know if I would have ever gotten there. Don't know if I would have ever gotten there.
She's pretty famous for that. She's done a lot of other stuff, but she's pretty famous for that specifically.
That dude has a voice of an angel.
Yeah. I love it. Anyway, so just the relationship. Yeah. We'll get into the details of that, obviously, in the next episode because it is a lot. But the love and the second chances and the missed opportunities and the whatevers.
It's all intertwined.
Intertwine and make Christina and Owen and Teddy and Callie and Mark all like question their own romantic endeavors and current states of love, I guess.
Yeah. It is a beautiful story. You know what? Do you think maybe we have enough time to talk about them right now?
We could.
Okay.
So Callie is in the ER treating a woman who fell and, she was in a car accident and broke her arm. She has to have surgery to put in some plates or something. And Christina and Teddy and Owen and Weber.
How cold is it in your fucking house right now?
It's just like very cold to me. It's probably a normal amount of cold. Also, when I sit still, I get so much colder than when I'm moving around.
I'm just looking over at her right now, everyone, and she's just wrapped up. She made her own kind of fake snuggie.
I'm like a cocoon.
A cocoon.
I'm cocooned in a blankie. So it's just my head talking into a microphone, and the rest of me is completely covered by it.
It's a pretty color, though. It's like a teal green kind of looking.
It's a very, very Christmassy green, like an evergreen.
Ah.
It's very soft. Anyways, okay. So it's Betty and Henry. And Henry sees Betty, and he's like, you need to check my head. I think I've seen a ghost. And they're wheeling Betty by, and he's like, Betty? She goes, Henry? Oh my God. And they reconnect. And I will say, I think just the framing of the two of them cutting back and forth and telling the story is like one of the most like moving moments of this entire show. Like for being that characters was really that good. We don't know and aren't attached to, it's so well done and so emotional, and you like feel it, right? So basically what they say is they met, they're so young, they're like what, 20 maybe, 21?
Something.
Henry
young.
Was engaged to Betty's best friend. Betty was supposed to be in the wedding. They have a party. Betty goes outside. Henry goes outside and Betty's there. And they just fuck. They just can't control themselves.
They doink. She goes, out in the open. Happened.
They were.
Wait, this was actually super cute. He goes, I went outside to look at the stars and I saw Betty. And I'm like, fuck. What?
It's so cute. I mean, I hate it for what's her bucket.
The infidelity.
But you know how it is. And
what does that mean?
What?
You're like, you know how it is.
Yeah, you know how it is. Sometimes people just fuck and then just lie.
Carmen, all of your infidelity. Irene. You know how it is.
You know, when you get it. Your wedding, you go out and fuck somebody in a garden.
Yeah.
He goes, she was my wife's roommate, her best friend. She was supposed to be in our wedding, maid of honor, disappeared. I was going to ride her, but I didn't.
And oh, he rided her.
All right, settle down.
Rode her.
There was a party. The sky was so clear. I went out to look at the stars, and there was Betty. It just happened. I felt terrible. It was wonderful. He was my first. She was my first. Irene and I were waiting for our wedding night. For the first time in my life, I felt complete. Being with Henry, I felt complete. I wanted to tell Irene. I wanted to call off the engagement. Would have been a terrible scandal, and it would have ruined my friendship with Irene. But of course, the friendship was ruined anyways. Betty just left. She went to grad school across the country, and I married Irene. I loved Irene, but she wasn't Betty. I told myself there'd be plenty of Henrys in my life, and Kelly said, and we're there, and Betty says, my husband was a good man, kind, funny, smart, but he was no Henry. There was another Henry. And then they put them in a room together. Christina does not love this.
Yeah, she's like anti-love because of Owen and...
because of whatever she... Yeah, and she also, because Owen and Teddy are both on the case... I think that's putting it more in the forefront of her mind to be like, they feel like they were each other's missed opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And so anyways, I love Henry and Betty.
Okay.
I'm going to credit the fact that you didn't get that to the fact that you've had like an hour of sleep, because that's the main plot of the episode. So
I didn't get that Christina felt like that. I thought that she was just being weird about Teddy and Owen, but I guess that would make sense that that was the underlying reason why they were they were each other's missed opportunities. I get it now. This is why you're the professor and I'm just the lowly student racking up crippling student loan debt to go to this college.
Oh, what a time. Anyways, so Betty and Henry are precious. After Henry's surgery, he asks Betty to move in. And Betty says, we barely know each other. We can't move in together. And... Henry says, we do know each other. We missed our chance. I don't want to miss it again. And she says, I got over you. I had kids and grandkids. I got over you. I'm so sorry. And that is a lie.
Can I pause you right there?
Yeah.
I want you to know that clearly something is not working in my brain, because when I wrote in all caps, then he didn't call off the engagement. Then I put 6 asterisks. Then I go, oh, okay, this is a metaphor for Owen, Christina, and Teddy. I get it now. I must have forgotten.
That's what I'm saying. I'm crediting the fact that you're so sleepy, because like I just feel like you would have gotten it.
In the moment, Carmen got it, but present recording, Carmen is an idiot. Fuck.
Oh, bless him.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Anyway, so then after the surgery, Betty is still talking to him for some reason. After Betty's surgery, and then he has another like irregular heart thing, it makes him pass out, and they save him, and she goes, you can't do that again. If I'm gonna move halfway across the country and shack up, you can't do that again. And he, and she goes, you make me feel like the prettiest girl at the party. When you look at me, I become young again, and I never stopped missing you, and I never stopped wondering. I did the right thing once, now I'd like to do the wrong thing and see how that goes. And then he says, how long do you need me to wait until I propose?
Ugh, in his sweet old man voice.
They're so old and in love.
Podcast burp. Apologies. Yeah, so I was also confused about that, because he's like, marry me, live with me, pick me, choose me, love me. And she's like, fuck you, dude. I got grandkids. Bye. Goes to surgery, comes back.
I think the issue and they're talking more, again. Yeah, that is the weird part. I think the reason that she's saying that is because if they get together now, it would potentially make the other people in their lives think that they didn't love their first spouses, which isn't the case. I do think they loved the people they married.
Totally.
I just think it was different.
Didn't we just have an episode not to... Oh, the waiter who was in love with the lady.
And then he died.
And then he fucking dies, dude.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Here's the moral of what I'm getting from this. Just tell people how you feel, okay?
Yeah.
Don't wait.
If you aren't doing something because you think it'll be a scandal, it might be a scandal. It'll probably be a scandal later. So you can either have the scandal now or you can have the scandal later.
Yep.
It's okay to not stay with people if you would rather be with someone else.
Yeah.
Especially if you do it before you get married. That's actually preferable.
Yeah. Yeah. But ultimately, everything was fine. It all worked out. Henry did need a pacemaker. That was it. And in the middle of all of this, so they keep kind of going back and forth. And, hold on. During the surgery, there's like some things that actually happened that we could talk about with Callie and Lexi. But within this storyline, there was a scene where they put them together first, when they're first together in the room. Mm-hmm. And Christine is like, we can't let them be together. This guy's heart's going to explode. And Weber's like, no, they can wait. And Christina was like, Teddy, are you going to stand for this? And she's like, oh, I'm a romantic. Of course I am. And I'm like, okay, yes, I love love. But also, love does not supersede medicine.
Well,
so I was a bit concerned.
Yeah. I don't really know what they were doing for Henry the first time, because they had to do the pacemaker, obviously, later on. But initially, hold on, let me find it. Betty Henry. Okay. They had to do an ablation, which I will say those typically aren't emergent.
Right.
So
when we have the scene, I don't know who is doing, like, what surgery it is. I don't know if it's Betty or Henry, but Callie is impressed with Lexi's stitching techniques on the grafting. I think
that would be Betty. Does Betty's because she's broken her arm.
So she's making all these backhanded comments about Mark, episode.
Yeah.
And Callie, and even when they first met, she's like, she's into older people, blah, 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 or younger people. And then Callie's like, shut up. Be professional, dude. But when they're in the surgery and Callie's like, okay, you're clearly not over Mark. Like, fuck you, dude. Okay. Yeah. And then they shift it to Callie.
Yeah.
And she's like, all I want is for her to change her mind and say yes.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And they talk about so much shit in these surgeries.
Yeah.
How do you even focus on cutting?
They really talk like it's just the, like there's not other people in there. And they're like, how does the whole hospital know my business? Well, because you were talking about it openly in front of 18 nurses.
Yeah. And yeah, people talk. Okay.
Like, I ain't keeping your secret. If you're going to talk your gossip in front of me, I'm going to run around and tell my friends I love gossip.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, you're not going to believe what fucking Lexi and Callie were just talking about in that surgery. Lexi's acting like she's over Mark, but she's not. Callie wants Arizona to change her mind, but she's not going to. These bitches, man, they up in here, they living in dream world.
No, they're living in Shondaland.
That is true.
Which is kind of a dream world sometimes.
That's also true.
So
I did want to touch on Henry's initial diagnosis made me chuckle. So I thought we could use that for this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
Yeah. Sick sinus syndrome.
Sick, dude. Sick.
This is Johns Hopkins. Sick sinus syndrome is a disease in which the heart's natural pacemaker, located in the upper right heart chamber, aka the right atrium, becomes damaged and is no longer able to generate normal heartbeats at the normal rate. So the irregular heartbeats are what causes Henry to pass out, which is what initially lands him in the hospital. This can result in heartbeats that are too slow, too fast, or heartbeats that alternate between slow and fast. What causes sick sinus syndrome? Coronary heart artery disease, prior heart attack, atrial fibrillation, heart failure, cardiomyopathy, taking certain medications, severe hypothyroidism, inflammatory conditions that involve the heart, rare family disease, heart chest trauma. And then when you have dizziness, fainting, shortness of breath, heart palpitations, chest pain, they can diagnose it with an EKG and a monitor. Typically things like that, pretty easily diagnosed, ultrasound, stuff like that. If they believe it to be caused by medicine, quick medicine change solved. They can put you on blood thinners, and that can, also help prevent further damage, because when your heart is working harder like that, it is harder for your blood to flow correctly and you're at higher risk for blood clots. And typically the most common treatment is for a pacemaker, especially if you're unsure what the ultimate cause is. A pacemaker is a almost surefire solution to sick sinus syndrome. Also, if you have it, don't smoke.
Also, just don't smoke.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. I love that. And I feel like, again, my medical knowledge is getting rounded out more and more by the day. You know another knowledge that I wish I could gain right now?
The second episode.
And what specifically in the second episode?
Everyone's favorite segment.